Welcome to A Course in Miracles. With everybody who admits verbally, out loud, I'm on a spiritual journey.
I am.
If anybody can do that, if anybody has ever done that, it's because you're voluntarily choosing a change in your identity. There's like before the spiritual journey, it's a material obsession that for most of us, you know, is absolutely trained by our families, the world, the movies, the school kids, and then the work kids, and then the married kids. And life will just train you that to be more wealthy, to be more healthy, go to school and be more wise. This is what makes you happy. This is what the world would train. Would you crank on that light for me, that rotate that disc on the wall? So for all of us here, if you've come to A Course in Miracles, it was probably not your first adventure into spirituality outbid. And so you might have said this to yourself or somewhere out loud, I am on a spiritual journey. I am here to awaken spiritually. Awaken from what? Have you ever asked that? Awaken from what? Awaken, yeah, that's why I love that analogy of dream. There he is.
Hey, hey.
Welcome back, Jay.
Thank you. May I?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
So this awakening.
Hello.
See ya. This awakening is from a sleep that we describe in many ways here. Describe it as darkness. I like to call it endarkenment. It's the ego. It's bondage. It's smallness. It's limit. It's anything but freedom, light, ascension, holiness, joy, bliss, peace. Awaken from one to the other. So anybody who's been able to say with a clear mind, with a simple intention, I am on a spiritual journey, I would like to awaken to, and you don't have to call it God, you could just call it truth. We use that a lot more in this room. That's a dedication to be reborn. From material to spiritual. From limit to freedom. Now, the Course in Miracles, it's from out to in. But let us think about that a little bit, okay? I would like you to, if you haven't, it's a great time for the next couple of minutes, to think about what it is you're doing. If you're able to say, I'm on a spiritual journey, I want to awaken, I just want you to think about that concept. I want to awaken. Let's do that for a couple minutes, just to get oriented for tonight's reading. And for those new people here, we're just going to do this quietly. I will speak during this. I may make a few suggestions. You don't have to. Please don't answer. But when I ring the bell, then we can chat about it. Okay. You guys are training me. What does it mean to you now? This is personal. Do yourself a favor. See where your mind is tonight on this question. It'll likely be different next week, and it was likely different last week. But come into this present moment and just get honest with yourself and answer for yourself. What does it mean to awaken? What does it mean to be on a spiritual journey? Awaken from what? And if you're on a spiritual journey to be spiritual, then you are awakening from being how? And if your heart and mind is just filled with the sense of freedom, a sense of freedom that you are pursuing. Indeed, there is a freedom too, but it is much easier to see the freedom from. Freedom from what? A Course in Miracles says, and this is a quote, "To forget your past is to be reborn." Take a moment now and choose just one thing. There will be many, I know. But what comes to your mind tonight? Choose one thing that in your path to spirituality, in your path to freedom, in your desire to awake, choose one thing that you would awaken from, that you would be free from. Choose one way of being that you would be liberated from. Just choose one of these things to own tonight. What is it, perhaps even simple as that, that has brought you into this room that you would be free from? That you think, that you hope, or that you know this work or work like it delivers. You know, a lot of spiritual circles, we talk about the goal. And we talk about a very wonderful ideal. And a lot of us are dealing in the mud and struggling with fear and anger and death and sickness and addiction and doubt and worthlessness. And yet you go into a room like this and we speak about this beautiful goal someplace else. One thing I love about A Course in Miracles is it doesn't mince words about from where we come, about the illusion of being in a body as being so damn real. You leave the room and immediately, I can't find my car keys. How am I going to get home? Or, cell phone's dead. The world just swallows up a lot of times. What I like about what we do in this room with A Course in Miracles is it's very, very practical. We're going to look at where we are as egos, as bodies. It's not this lofty spiritual existence, although we do go there, you know, with Christ mind and with accessing the Holy Spirit and our right thinking. But we do it from a very realistic perspective. That's what I love about this book. It's full of bridges. Bridges from the ego to spirit. How to. It's very practical, isn't it? That's why it's important for us to recognize and to own from what it is we are releasing. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a release. It doesn't go out and do anything in the world at all. It's releasing your mind from an addiction to something. From a thought pattern that's heavy or dark or sick or worried or sorrowful or just habitual that you would rather be free of. So, if you wish, we'll go around the room. Just take a word or a phrase and share, if you choose, otherwise say pass, something that you're releasing with this journey. Jay?
Division.
Yes. release division. Dividing means there's two sides, and once they're separated, they begin to compete. And you got to choose one or the other. Separation is born. Stephen.
Well, you know, I can recall like declaring the path at 21.
Okay.
Something traumatic happened. I had this huge shift in my way of thinking, started looking for answers other than in my head.
Yeah.
But for decades, and maybe still to some degree, whatever, and I've done all kinds of stuff, Eastern, Western, it was about fixing myself, or escaping myself even.
Uh-huh.
So what it's kind of evolved to is like I just would like to be, have some mastery at being unfuckable with. You know, have some mastery at have my new default position not be about always judging and assessing every situation, every person, myself.
No, this is huge. We learn this with the Course in Miracles. I'm gonna describe that as free from self-talk. The ego has a ton of answers on how to solve our problems. The problem is that its first answer is attack. If you don't feel comfortable with that, we'll defend. And if that doesn't work for you, quietly judge. These are the ego's type of self-talk. Would decide good and bad and differences and division and try to find some peace in that. That's the way of the world, the way of the ego. It leads all the way to wars. But on the way, it's very difficult. Course in Miracles offers a guide away from self-talk. Because self-talk, you just, as the Course describes, in order for you to understand something that is insane, you'd have to get outside of it, if even for only a moment, and look back at its insanity. You do not see a thought system from inside it. What does it take to get outside of a bunch of stinking thinking that's built an entire world of separation? You'd need a miracle. You would need a miracle to shift your perception enough to look back on the insanity. You would need a change in your mind sufficient enough to see the whole thing and not be in it. Not be of it. Thanks.
Gregory.
Gregory. God, I had it. I had it about maybe 75%.
Yeah. I know everyone probably says this or thinks it, but exactly what you said is what I was feeling and thinking before you said it. My own default thinking patterns. Thinking that I'm right or that I know or that like I know the answer or I should know the answer or that I can know the answer.
Yes.
This whole little spinning of I've got this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but really it's got me.
Yeah.
So what if I could just be free and let go and allow something to be.
That's right. For you to let go of your identity of having the answers. And having the answers, by the way, for the ego, it sounds like this. I know. Which is a big block to learning or awakening or any change. Of Course in Miracles says that learning is change. And if you already know, nobody's going to talk you out of it. You'll be teaching other people what you know. And you will be stuck with whatever you know. And if you're not, the Course says, if you are not supremely happy, sit back and take notes. Loosen up. I love that. In order to do that, in order to be able to say, I'm willing to listen to a guide, two huge things have to be in place in your mind, which is no small accomplishment. Two huge things. One of them is, there is one who knows. That's huge. And two is, I can do it. That second one, I want everybody in here to congratulate yourselves. To know that you know you can do it. Maybe you haven't accomplished it, you don't come as far as you like, and you're embarrassed that maybe you should be a little more peaceful, a little more often. Okay, fine. But if you've come this far, congratulate yourselves that you know you can. And that puts you a lot closer to being free than probably you will give yourself credit. There are many, and maybe some of us in this room still, have moments when we feel it's too hard, it's too far to go to actually be happy in your situation. It's just too far. You just hope something changes outside of you to make you happy. Some of us may still have those feelings. I'm here to tell you, you're closer than you think if you're sitting in this room. If you've ever read one page of this book, you've touched the power that's waiting for you as a guide away from your own thinking, which is all that's holding you in prison. You are an extension of love. You are in reality perfectly free. You are the reason you don't feel free. I found the problem. It's you. It's your thoughts. That's what this book is about. Being able to see your own thinking for the barrier that it is, and then show you, sometimes in the same minute, the amount of freedom you actually have and what life actually is. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. What's your name?
Erica.
Erica. Erica, what would you like to release?
I would like to release doubt.
Yes! Doubt.
Yes.
It's a barrier. You realize it. This doubt thing. That seems so wise sometimes, so that you don't wholesale believe things that aren't true, becomes a barrier to things that are true or you would like to be true. Or you'd like to trust. As we've talked about here recently, it's like you leave. Habits of doubt is like leaving a brick in the hallway outside your bedroom. And at night, when it's dark, you go making your way to the bathroom at night, you would trip over the brick. You left a brick somewhere. And this is what doubt is like. Doubt would trip up your thinking process. Close doors. Would not allow you to flow. Yeah. Our private thinking provides doubt and guilt and attack and defense, things like this. These are provided, as the Course calls it, in your own mind. This is your thought system that seems so wise, makes your own personal private hell. Because you're the customer and the provider of the doubt. It isn't really anyplace else. The wonderful thing to be free of. Be very handy to have a guide who's one step ahead of you on the path that does not have doubt. This might help be a bridge, and that's I think that's what this material provides. Thank you, Erica. Pam, I have a book for you. What would you like to release?
We're in the doubt section over here, I think. I'm with you. Doubt also. And I was thinking more in terms of gaining, not releasing, but, you know, that and I feel like it's about really owning that power, you know?
Yes.
And staying there, just being comfortable with it. And,
yeah.
And just getting it.
Like, yes.
Just...
What's the opposite of doubt for you?
Getting it. Oh, yeah. You know, that whole thing. Like, just remembering it in an easy way. And certainly that's happened over this time. Like, you don't get as far down the rabbit hole. Yeah. You don't even go in it anymore. Yeah. You get it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily, the conditioning's not a light switch. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
As much as it can be, yeah. When we're in the right mode and we can, when we remember it's like, yeah. A light switch.
Because it's loaded with habits.
Yeah,
the doubt is loaded with habits. Yeah. You find yourself drowning in the doubt before you can choose the courage.
Yeah.
Yes. It would take a little practice.
Yeah.
Of catching yourself about to get in the hole, rather than being in the hole and saying, how do I get out?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to A Course in Miracles and the workbook.
Yep.
But doesn't it start there? It's like, I know you're going to get this. Because it's like, you know, you're suffering, you're all messed up, you don't know what the hell's going on, and it might take you a week or two,
yeah.
to go, oh, I'm in the rabbit hole. Damn. I went down the tube.
Right.
So, in the process of it, it's like hindsight. Like, yeah. All right, now you can backtrack and see maybe what triggered you or how I got started and
uh-huh.
all the ways you dug the hole deeper.
Uh-huh.
And every time it comes up, you get a little closer to the moment.
That's mm-hmm. it.
I have a few people in my life that they're just so present, they can bust themselves right in the moment. Right mm-hmm. as that thought occurs, they're like right there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still doing hindsight. But, you know, yeah. I mean, but I don't know how else.
Shorter and shorter,
it.
Right?
Shorter and shorter.
That's huge.
Hopefully it's not weeks anymore. Hopefully it's not years anymore. Hopefully it's not 14 years anymore. I mean, that's way better. Yeah, that's right. We're busting the ego here. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, quicker and shorter. We're waking up. That's what waking up is like. Yeah. Lesson 284 has this wonderful little phrase in it. And it says, first, this is a thought to be open to. Then, it's to be remembered. And then it's to be understood. And then finally, I'm making this up because I forget the exact words. And then it's finally to be accepted as true. The book understands it's a journey. But let's get it started, the sooner the better. Sooner the better. Just one day less with some of these rabbit hole turns would be worth it. But that's right. There are people, and myself, I have to count myself in there because I just, things will still happen in my life that they're rotten. But, you know, not willing to suffer. There's no need. It's so silly. Good to be my own way? The world is doing a fine job getting in my way without me getting in my own way. Mm-hmm. I will be free of that, like, the sooner the better. Well, what would you be released from?
Voices in my head.
Yes.
What I used to think of as people out there, they're just voices in my head, and I've named those voices, I've given those voices those people's names.
Yeah.
It's everything's inside.
Yes. The opinions! Multiple opinions!
And it's all, you know, for me, it's all in me, about me. And
yes.
There's no one else. And when I realize that, I can step back and I'm free from that.
Yes.
You know, I'm not.
Isn't it amazing how the stepping back, and the other way to say stepping back, is to get present. To get present. The voices have opinions about the past or about the future. It would take them time to enunciate it or to worry about it. One of the ways we step back, one of the ways we wake up, is we get present. To really be still is to be present, and the voices go quiet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I can visualize these people. They're moving their mouths.
Oh, yeah.
But there's silence.
Nice. Nice.
And then it starts again the next day. You know, I have to go through the same process, but
yes.
I can work through that.
Yes. You know, I like something about that is that you're not trying to kill them. You're not trying to get rid of them.
Oh, no, they didn't.
It's just silent. Just let them be, but let them be silent.
Well,
I like that.
Well, they're there anyway. I mean, there's no reason for me to not love them because they don't really exist.
Yes.
It's all...
Uh-huh. You know. Yes. My own ideas. Yeah, lesson 155. I will step back and let him lead the way. And him... in this book is still you. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. There's only one. Appearing as many, including you. appearing as many. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the book is written so that you can take your addiction to division, your addiction to separation, and still work with moving toward the one. And so we use things like Holy Spirit, things like brother, things like God, things like Jesus. It is still only one. Like I say, a good bridge. We understand that. We say, lesson 155, I will step back and let him lead the way. I, the one who knows for sure that she's guilty, or that I'm guilty, or I deserve, I will step back and let the same part of my mind lead the way. That's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Thank you. Kim, what would you release?
I think the... I don't know how to even describe it, but you know how you have a choice between love and forgiveness or the opposite of that? It's the freedom from choosing the opposite first.
Yes. Because isn't that the addiction?
When I practice the love and forgiveness, my life just gets better and better. And then it just takes one choice of the opposite of that.
Yes.
And I feel the effects sometimes, I don't know if it's stronger, but...
Oh, yeah.
It definitely...
It's backed up.
I definitely feel the separation.
Yes, the separation, it is felt very, very strong and very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. Because it's backed up with a lifetime of habit and results. Mm-hmm. It's the teeter-totter will change balance, Kim, where the Holy Spirit and the peace and freedom is felt stronger. And that's how the addiction to peace and joy becomes the default, rather than the addiction to darkness and littleness.
Yeah, it's like that. It's really getting there.
I
think that's why it's so apparent to me, the difference now, because I didn't used to feel it before, but I really feel it now.
The contrast is the teacher. Mm-hmm. Yes, contrast is now the teacher. Mm-hmm. Isn't it true? Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I think your scales have tipped here. There's no turning back. I mean, I guarantee you there's no turning back. Even if you were to go completely, try to go back to the darkness as completely as you possibly could, the light does not go out. Mm-mm. It seems to get off a little distant, but it does not go. You always know now your freedom, and you know the responsibility for your own sight, mm-hmm. and you know the power of your own choice forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a wonderful phrase. It's not A Course in Miracles, but attributed to Jesus.
Like the light is buried within a shifting mirage of beliefs.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's like the light is in within a shifting...
Yes.
I just thought it occurred to me, mirage of belief.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Mirage of belief.
That we're creating our reality, seeing these illusions.
Yeah.
But there's a light, a true light.
Yes.
The true light that's there.
Yes.
And we will return.
And if you look at how we've returned, and you look at your journey, if you look at how you did it, how did you get to the point where you know you can be free? Mm-hmm. It was not something you did. It was something you didn't do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that make it easy? It's a job of not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Something you're very accustomed to doing.
Yeah.
Yes. Good, good, good. Julie.
The need to control. I think it's the fear of uncertainty and feeling like I can, if I just do X, Y, or Z, I can control it.
Yeah. Take out the variables. Mm-hmm. Nail it down. Put it in the box.
It's exhausting.
Oh, it's a lot of work. I'm
looking for trust. So whatever the opposite
you are
trust
looking
is,
for trust. Yes. You are looking for trust. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, doubt was mentioned quite nicely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I resonated with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Indeed, you're looking for trust. Yeah. It's a lot simpler. And it's so much more present. And it's something, it's a state of mind that has a handy way to visit it. You can sneak into trust in a wonderful way if you try to do something or lives to do something creative. If you, like Kim takes brush to canvas, and it's just a beautiful, clean, unmarked, fresh white canvas. It's perfect. It's perfect. And she's going to go start putting stuff on it. She's going to take random colors and
start... There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, right. Or music. If you're going to commit to actually playing the music, especially in company of other people, it takes a lot of trust. It takes courage. The opposite of doubt. But a flow happens, and a dance happens, as you allow whatever happens to become the reality. You will not abandon yourself with insanity by being a little more patient, a little more tolerant to what the situation is, rather than controlling every detail. You know this. Mm-hmm. But it does take courage. Mm-hmm. You take trust. Very good. Good, good. Mm-hmm. Carol, what is it you would release?
A state of mind of reacting.
Mm.
Reacting.
Wow.
Instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Choosing and allowing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And intention.
Uh-huh.
But really reacting.
Yes, you know, reacting and lack of intention and finding yourself doing things that you would may perhaps not have chosen. Yeah. This is what it's like to be a victim. I'd like to be free from being a victim to needing to react with some preset pattern or defense. Perhaps to be more tolerant and patient. And then intentional response might be loving and more inclusive of the situation versus selfishly defending. There's a big difference in responding versus reacting. It's beautiful.
Right.
Absolutely, that's what we're doing here. Be free from the egos. I know exactly what to say. Because they said the same again. Yeah. Free from that noise. Beautiful. Masako, what would you release?
I would release everything in exchange for nothing.
I could say that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a matter of perspective, of course. Especially when everything is known to be the illusion. It's known to be colored and limit. It's known to be yet another trap for the busy ego. And what the door away from everything would look just like nothing. Beautiful. Nice. New guy along for the ride.
Cool.
Paul, thank you.
I'm trying to release attachment to doing rather than just being.
Ha! Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That I really don't need to do.
Nice.
I just know.
Yeah. Tremendous sense of self-worth and identity in doing. Especially if you're successful getting it done. Look what I did. I can prove I am. I can prove I know. I can prove I'm worth something. Yeah.
Don't need to.
Don't need to. Wow, something in there says, I don't need to do to be. Nice. Yeah, I can feel a little freedom coming there.
Hard road.
Yeah. A lot of habits involved. Mm-hmm. A lot of measurement in doing.
Well, takes playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Paul. What's your name?
My name's Randy.
Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randy, what would you release?
I would release fear and just go with trust, and just allow the trust to come through. It's like when you said, I kept saying, I'm on a spiritual path. I feel like trusting, no, I'm on a spiritual path. The spiritual path is on me, and just trusting that the path is on me, and allow trust instead of feeling the fear of the future, fear of what's going to happen next.
Yes, beautiful.
Change it to trust.
To change the exact same situation, which is the future coming, right, so to speak, to change it away from something to fear to something to trust, not knowing either way what's coming. It's not I know, so I'm safe. It's not I can control it, so I know it's going to be good. No. It's turning the same circumstance into a trust, a trusting perspective, and welcoming it, whatever it is, in trust. Oh, what a nice way to live.
Is it such a fun? Yeah. So is there a recommendation if the fear comes up?
Yes.
And if I have trouble changing into trust, how do you, because my habits or whatever, how does one change fear into trust, saying no matter what?
There's two ways to go. Of course, there's only two ways to go. One of them is, and whichever works for you. And the Course teaches many, many tools to get you here. One of them is to understand that fear is essentially, false evidence appearing real. Wait, it's false evidence. Whatever you're looking at, you're deciding and you're using your own judgment to decide that it's a problem. Recognize the falsity of your judgments. And that, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, just about 100% of the time, things you're worried about have not occurred. They've occurred, but some other way, and it wasn't as bad as you thought, or you handled it okay, or it never happened at all. And yet, there were weeks or months spent worrying about it. And of course, there's this wonderful sentence in there. How many times have you missed the opportunity to recognize that what you thought about was not real? How many times did you worry about something, doubting and concerned, all the way right up to the moment, and it wasn't that? Of course, it's how many times have you just walked right past that without recognizing you did it to yourself? So that's one way. One way is to recognize that nothing you see or think about means anything. Especially if it's in the future, because did you ever know this? Did you ever look at this? The future never comes. It never actually arrives. You think you're in the future now because you weren't here yesterday? No, this is new right now. It didn't come from what you predicted. The future never comes. Fear never actually shows up. It's a dream. Now, here's the part that stings a little bit, but it might help with an awakening. The dream of fear, about worrying about the future, it's actually much more like a prayer. You're using your power to make your life fearful. And you're getting your prayers coming true because of how powerful you are. But it's not what you want. It's not what you actually want. So you're lying to yourself, see? So that's the one way, is to disempower that whole fragmented fantasy thought system and recognize that it's nothing actually happening but what's happening right now. Oh my God, it's such a relief, isn't it? To stop telling yourself lies and then following the lies? What a relief. Okay, that's one way. The other way is the trust aspect. To somehow have your mind opened up that where you are what you are, from where you came, and what surrounds you is love. It's actually what will be known and is love. It really is. So Masaka says, I would trade everything I know for nothing, and it's better. Because she's tasted in her stillness the power of love. That is, as the book says, you don't go get or make or invent love. No, love is, and it is right now, in perfection. It's just the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. That's on page one in this book. The blocks to the awareness of love's presence that we work with. Remove the blocks. It's love everywhere. Thank you. Stay with it. It's doable. It's already done. You just don't know it. Donna, what would you release?
Well, that was kind of my theme. You were asking us first about the journey that we were on. So it all ran together in one thing because when I closed my eyes, I was thinking, okay, I'm on a journey of letting go. And then it was like I saw myself on a roller coaster because this is how it's been feeling this week.
Yeah.
And so I had my arms up and then, you know, like thinking, how am I going to let go? And then suddenly there was a big sign that said, arrived. And so it really became clear to me that what I'd like to get let go of or be released from is this sense that I'm constantly having to let go of something. Mm-hmm. And to know what I know, that I've already arrived.
Mm-hmm.
It's already happened.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. This is a gift you would give yourself by coming into the present moment. Especially if you think that this is you. And there is that point when you come and you start to wonder, am I free already, completely? A great way to know that is to go completely still and bask in that release in the present moment. It looks like nothing for a few seconds until a love comes in and gives you a big embrace in its presence. Let us know how that turns out. Do it again.
Andrew, can I say something?
Yes.
A couple of months ago, Pam, hello Pam. Mm. What she said really struck me. She said something about from sight to vision. Mm-hmm. So that means that the sight is the world, is what we sense with our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And vision is we have to go within.
Mm-hmm.
It's another reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is an invitation for miracles. It's about surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we can only find it in here.
Yes.
When we close off this.
Of Course in Miracles has a short little sentence. It's so potent on that.
You mean better than what I just said?
Oh, no, but not better. But I just... Oh, no. I couldn't possibly...
Almost as good.
Claim that.
So certain.
But you might like it. Of Course says, there is nothing so blinding as the perception of form. Good, Masako. Good. Luann, what would you release?
This whole thing has been a pathway for me from where I started. So it's like, I don't know where I am right now.
Nice. You're open-minded.
Not only have people said what I wanted to release, but you've given answers to everything that I had questions about how to do what I wanted to release. So I don't know where to go from this, but what I started off with was I didn't want to judge myself or others.
Yeah.
And then I said, and what that led me to was I'm doing these lessons, and I'm kind of at the beginning, and it was that I had a fear that I was going to lose a sense of who I am. And then you talked about insanity, and I thought, okay, I'm not going to become insane, which is my fear, because I don't know where I'm going exactly. And yet I've already experienced everything that anybody has said about choosing love versus choosing anything else. And I have moments when I feel nothing but love. And so it's like, how come the evidence I have isn't convincing me that I don't have anything to fear?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's
right. You know, we talked about this very, very delicate moment, okay, that's coming. You know what's coming? It's called, often it's called the dark night of the soul. Where, this is where we know that what we do know is not true. I no longer want to do or to be what I've been doing or being, because it's not right. Not happy, it's not free, I'll have no more of it. We have this concept, idea, a few moments of ease have crossed our mind, that there is truth. Call it God if you're comfortable with that. There actually is goodness, pure freedom. And I'm invited. But I don't know where it is. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know how to be it. I don't know how to say it. But I know I'm not going back. I'm not sure exactly how to go forward. This is a dark night of the soul. It's a necessary passage to your freedom, because it's a release from the old way. And the old way had certain comforts to it that you no longer like. And the new way has power that you're sure you will have. But you just don't know what it looks like. It's not depressing. At the same time, it's freeing. It's like, thank God I'm not going to do the old thing anymore. Oh, thank God. This is a good day. And then, oh, shucks. I don't know how to be.
Well, you kind of have a sense that you know, but you don't believe it yet. And until you believe that, until you experience it, then you can believe it, then you can hold on to it.
Nice.
Well,
can move out of that dark night, but when you're right in it, you don't believe you can have the other.
Yes, that's why I say it's so critical. Anybody who thinks they can do it, you believe you can, you just haven't got around to it yet, you're a lot closer than you think. It's the hopeless ones who completely doubt, I'm not good enough. This is a climb.
But Kim, the thing that I'm saying is I have experienced it, and I still feel like I'm not sure I'm going to get there.
Yeah. Good.
I can speak to that if that's appropriate.
Sure.
I have a history of drinking alcoholically, and I spent the last few years drinking. And on the 19th, I was hanging out with a friend of mine that's an Alcoholics Anonymous, and he said, oh, I read one of these short stories in the back of the AA book, you know. And I thought, hey, that's something I haven't done for a long time. And so I picked up, I read a story, and it's about one of the first AA guys, and he'd been sober for a while, and he relapsed, and he said, I did a short prayer. It went something like this. God, for the past 18 years, I've been unable to control my drinking. Please take it from me now. And he said, then I went to sleep like a baby. And when I woke up, he said, I woke up to a new universe. And then in italics, it said, nothing had changed, and yet everything had changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was all, well, what the hell? I'll do that prayer. It's only a couple sentences. God, I've been fucking my life up for the last few years, mm-hmm. unable to control this. Take it from me now. And then I went to sleep, and I woke up, and the first thing on my mind was that nothing had changed, yet everything had changed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll go pour out my booze. And I went to the mm-hmm. sink, and I was pouring it out. And while I was pouring it out, I thought, what's the use, Jay? You're just going to go buy more like you always do.
Mm-hmm.
And there it was, that I know, you know, and all the doubt and the fear. And so I was thinking that, and I was sure that I was right, because based on my past behavior, it's definitely what I was going to do later in the day. So I was pouring it out, and I was thinking the thought while I was pouring the booze out, and then the next thought was all, yeah, but maybe not. You know, you just turned it over to something else other than what you just think you know is right. So just give it a chance, you know. And my craving disappeared in that instant and has not come back. It's only been a couple of months, but that is a miracle for sure. Because before it was just a constant pressing need to either drink or have strategies and tricks to try to avoid drinking. And and I also was left with that, well, that's great that I'm not doing that anymore. And like, what the fuck do I do now? And I didn't really know what, but it didn't matter either. It's just like, well, just not that, you know. Just,
but there was a moment.
A moment of clarity and of certainty.
Yes,
that there was something that definitely, like, I was uncertain, but then another part of me or something else was totally certain and was saying, just rely on this, you know. You just turned it over to whatever you prayed to, and I'm going to do it, okay? It's not like, why waste your time?
It wasn't like like the roof opened up and a lightning bolt came in.
Nothing like that.
No, it wasn't actually quite known, right?
Yeah.
What it was is a little willingness.
Exactly.
Maybe this.
The mustard seed of willingness.
Right?
That's what it was.
Yes, and turned out so far to be 3 months.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
No trumpets, no angels flying around.
Right?
Simple, except
not yet. I'm still waiting.
Oh, don't get there.
So I like to call Course in Miracles.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I appreciate the story, because what's reminded me of is when I'm sitting there doing one of these lessons thinking, is my faith strong enough to keep going? There's a part of me says, well, it doesn't matter whether or not you're going to.
Awesome.
That's right, huh?
So I've got this thing saying, don't worry about it so much because you're going to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom once said to me. She said, she says, I think she heard it somewhere, and maybe somebody can tell me where this came from. She says, the concept is this: everybody else is awake and enlightened and free. Every single other person on the planet. They're just playing out their role, waiting for you. In your time, when it suits you, they know you're going to make it. They all did. And they're providing the circumstances to pave the way for you to take that last thought like he did. Anybody ever heard that before?
Yeah, I have.
That's scary.
But you know what? Everybody's completely patient. And nobody's forcing you or rushing. They're just playing their part until you decide, in your good time, since there's really not a problem. Right? Big illusion, big
and
dream.
And that's how important you are to this life.
That's how important you are.
That is your purpose in this life.
Yes.
Our purpose.
In your
purpose.
Good time. Yeah. In your good time.
Yes.
Well, then if everybody has that same experience, then nobody's important.
Everybody has that same experience.
We're all the same.
It's we're either all one, and when one of us does it, all of us have that.
That's what I play devil's advocate for.
Or everybody's important. Because each of them had their laughter.
Well, there's only one of us in there. There's only one.
That's what I mean.
But you know, it's very binary, Luann, and I'm glad you came to that. It's very binary. Binary means it is or it isn't. Either there is a light in you that will be seen and heard and become all of you, or there isn't. And I can tell you, if you're sitting with that book in your lap, there is. 100%. Good, good. Michaeline, what would you release?
I've kind of been doing some release work around something that's just a little more aware in my life now, and that is impatience. I always considered myself a patient person, but I'm finding myself to be impatient, and I'm actually learning to be okay with what is rather than trying to push something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I have the whole thing of unfolding, and I do the, you know, what do I do, what do I say, where do I go in the morning, inner direction. And then being defensive. And when I say defensive, it's this old thing about having to justify, explain, make okay, if somehow it's like not okay for anything, like, you know, decisions and things like that, and judgments. And
So that ties directly to what Julie was talking about, and control.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the trust that I'm on the path that I'm supposed to be on, and
yes.
it will occur when it's supposed to occur.
Yes.
And to enjoy it rather than do the struggle.
Don't miss it, I like to say.
Yeah.
Or I like to say, you sit there in the middle of all your beep. When it's really hit the fan, it's a mess, you don't know how you're going to get out of it, just stop, turn your hands upward to say, it doesn't get better than this! And just have a little miracle. Let it go. Stop the worry, stop the judgment, come back into the moment, and just pick up with all the power that you do have, all the love and support that is around you. And don't miss it.
Well, I've been saying... in my defenselessness, my
safety lies.
Because it's unsafe. I'm in a new territory.
Yes.
I'm in unfamiliar.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Absolutely unfamiliar place in my life.
Aha. Yes. Yes.
Spiritually. And it's because it's more spiritual than it is pragmatic and.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. She's talking about lesson 153. It says, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. Which is to say that in my defending, I'm absolutely attacked.
And I'm fearful.
Right? Even if nobody's attacking, if you're defending and you're putting up the shields and you're putting up all this defense, even if nobody's there and they all went home, you're hiding behind your shield defending and you really feel attacked. Everybody went home. Yeah. Stop this self-attack, for sure. Good lesson, good one. Brother John, what would you release?
Well, I can't believe no one said this, but, and this kind of goes with what she was saying, judgment.
Oh, yeah.
And if I could release judgment, I mean, but in a logical way, not just all at once.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'd be, you know, lost. I'd be at sea without being able to judge my way through life.
Yes. Yes.
And but I understand judgment is holding me back.
Yes.
Spiritually.
Yes. Yes.
It's in fact I see judgment in others and I condemn it.
Yeah.
Judging it.
Uh-huh. You spot it. You spot it, you
so
got
true.
It.
So true.
And so I recognize that. I get it.
Yeah.
So I need to I guess with the help of the book,
yes.
Slowly release judgment of my fellow humans.
Yes. Well, there's two ways to go about that. There's the easy way and the hard way.
Good and the bad. What's the good?
Yeah, there's a good and the bad. Yeah. The hard way would be to stop judging all of your brothers. Mm. When judgment is so natural and so immediate, it's a hard way just to stop doing what is coming to you. The easy way is to meet yourself where you are, but instead of with the ego's idea of how to judge, you still judge, but you have the Holy Spirit do it. In other words, instead of your wrong part of your mind that would divide and fill with doubt and guilt and defense, you would look at the person honestly, look at them, get ready to judge, but say, Holy Spirit, what do you say about this situation? Let me listen.
Of course. Give it to the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And that way you get present. Instead of running from a situation, you will go right into it and heal it.
Gotcha.
Get on it, Brother John. Beautiful. Good. Good. I love it. He wants to do it logically. He does not want to run from it. He does not want to run from it. Good. Excellent. Good job, everybody. Yes, Carol?
Yeah, I wanted to say something.
in the physical world, I've been having some real extreme challenges lately.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this morning, I've had a tape for many years of that I lent to you once of all these sayings of A Course in Miracles
mm-hmm.
that are really great. And for some reason, I haven't heard it for a long time, but this one came into my mind, and it was just kind of going round and round. God's love for me is perfect happiness.
Mm-hmm.
God's love, and it was just kind of like, na 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 na.
God's will for me.
Mm-hmm. And then I decided a little while later that I love to just open the course.
Mm-hmm.
And it said on page 180, I think, God's love for me is perfect happiness.
God's will for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was just exactly what I'd been.
Nice.
Na 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 na.
Nice.
Anyway,
you're so blessed.
I know.
There's so much support.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what it's like when the angels, that word's in the course 12 times. Not what the book is about, but you know, if you understand what Carol's describing, the universe is bending toward your little willingness to hear the word and to see this light. No matter how far you go, you can't get away from that light. Good. Thank you. Very nice.
What about you, Andrew?
She's got to remember after all that. For me, I would like to be released from seeing other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. From being a witness to other. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd be released from that. Thanks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, turn to God. It's been a long time since we've been here. It's I think it's page 250
in the
text. Yes, it's page 250 in the text. And let's read. Let's read, I would say the first three paragraphs will get us what we need. Yeah. Jay, you ready to go?
You mean from 10,
page
10 or from...
good question. Number one.
Okay, yeah.
Section called Finding the Present.
Finding the Present. To perceive truly is to be aware of all reality through the awareness of your own.
Whoa, read that again.
To perceive truly is to be aware of all reality through the awareness of your own. But for this, no illusions could rise to meet your sight, for reality leaves no room for any error. This means that you perceive a brother only as you see him now. His past has no reality in the present, so you cannot see it. Your past reactions to him are also not there, and if it is to them that you react, you see but an image of him that you made and cherish instead of him. In your questioning of illusions, ask yourself if it is really sane to perceive what was as now. If you remember the past as you look upon your brother, you will be unable to perceive the reality that is now.
Good, simple logic. Good, simple logic. Even the ego can't argue with that. Get present. Get honest with what's going on now. Yeah. Good, good. Stephen?
You consider it natural to use your past experience as the reference point from which to judge the present. Yet this is unnatural because it is delusional. When you have learned to look on everyone with no reference at all to the past, either his or yours, as you perceived it, you will be able to learn from what you see now. For the past can cast no shadow to darken the present unless you are afraid of light. And only if you are, would you choose to bring darkness with you. And by holding it in your mind, see it as a dark cloud that shrouds your brother's and conceals their reality from your sight.
Now that sounds like a lot of work, to be able to see somebody as they are now. But you know, it's extremely practical. And if you were to do this, the next time you have an argument with somebody, try to remember this, what we're discussing right now. Try to remember, I'm not going to use the past. I'm not going to use what you just said. That's gone. I want to get to what you mean now. I want to get to where you are now. I want to respond, not react. Who said that? Carol. I want to react to my interpretation of what you said or what you did, but to how you are right now. The closer you can narrow your focus to the present moment, the sooner you will have compassion. Because you will see their face red, maybe, and their fist clench, the finger outstretched. All of that is, I wish I felt love from you or from me right now. That's what they mean. I wish I felt comfortable. I don't, but I wish I did. If you get right in the present moment, that's all that's happening. Forget all the details.
You'd be glad I can't remember anything.
Yes, yes, that's right. That's right. And then you will drop your judgment and your defenses. Because the Course says, the only answer to a call for love is love. It will show up on your face as you respond to their desire. Will you please love me? Will you please beep, 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 love me? That's all that's happening. Can there be some love in this life for me right now? That's all that's really happening. And if you're present, you have the capacity to offer this. And you don't have to do it with a single word. Love does not have the perfect word. It has an undefended presence that puts the other person's importance equal or better than your own, just for a moment. It will show up on your face automatically. When you show up completely defenseless, when you show up with the desire to share, the desire to be there for that person and say, hey, let me give you some more space.
So how do you approach it when you see the people looking for love but appearing like they're Nazis or Klansmen that are spewing hate? How do you approach that, especially trying to erase the knowledge you had from history?
Yes, yes. The first thing you do is, in your practicality, is you duck if they're swinging a 2x4 or pointing a gun. So don't make me crazy about this.
You can write that down.
Yeah, duck. Yeah. Within 36 inches, duck. Yeah. But what you want to do is practice and be ready to employ compassion for what they are feeling. In other words, the Course has a very specific section where it actually brings you into this exercise. And it says, look at your brother who you think is being an SOB, completely wrong, and doing harm. Look at them honestly. That's why this honesty is really important. Who's talking about that? This honesty is really important about what you're perceiving. And then ask yourself this careful question. Would I blame myself for doing that Nazi act, or hateful act, or homicidal act? Very, very careful question I pose to you. It's about 480 pages into the book, so lots of support for you if you choose to pursue this. But it's an awesome meditation on compassion and understanding, and also seeing that I and my brother and my father are one. That's how you do it.
That's it.
Yeah, well, you can't lie to yourself about it. You can't. Good. So I'm really glad you challenge it, because it's to pretend that they are okay as they are when you object to it, or there's loss of life, or spewing words of hatred and guilt and attack. That's a lie to say that that's okay. The only truth is what's driving it. What's really driving it. Of Course in Miracles, we learn another concept, but we're going to get to in about 100 pages, which is cause and effect are never separated. The world of division, the world of separation, is that something happens here and it causes something over there. That's separating cause and effect. That makes a whole world of division and separation and duality. And here we are. This book is teaching as part of a spiritual awakening. That's bogus. That concept that cause and effect are separated is bogus. You see, the effect only exists because of, wait for it, the cause. And never do they actually leave. It's like the sun, this big ball of energy, poof, came into glowing, and it's been glowing for a long time, getting bigger, bigger still. And now we look up at this ball and see this yellow light coming at us, right? Thinking that the ball is over there. But were you to back up far enough and see that the sun is still growing from its moment of ignition, you would see the ball that big, wouldn't you? Not the little concentration we see from inside it. We're inside the sun, if you talk about its influence. The sun's influence is a huge ball now. Somewhere around 4.5 billion years of light shining. Not 5 billion. If you got that far away, it'd be dark, wouldn't it? Do you see? There's no separation from any expansion of the sun. Any of its rays are still the sun expanding. The effect is not separate from the cause, not one moment. Now what we have to do is see what the cause is for this hateful act. See the cause and not judge the effect. And you will be able to join with this person or this act, even if it's from yourself and something behavior you don't like about yourself. See the cause of how you do it.
That's why my therapist said forgiveness is remembering your own human condition.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do that, you can understand other people have their own human condition.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Look for the similarities instead of the differences. Good. Yeah, differences are always to provide more division. Yeah, good. Thank you. Okay, where do we leave off?
Three. Are we going to read three?
Yes. This is perfect.
This darkness is in you.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember I told you we found the problem? We found the problem. Can you please read that again?
This darkness is in me.
It's in you. Yeah.
The Christ, as revealed to you now, has no past, for he is changeless. And in his changelessness lies your release. For if he is as he was created, there is no guilt in him.
Okay, so I'm going to back up to this funky word that Gregory?
Yep.
Just read. He says, changelessness. Now that's not unchangeability. That's not never changed. Changelessness is a condition where change is not even possible. It's not real. Course in Miracles uses this lessness modifier in a few well-chosen places. Just another way to drive your mind deeper into the awareness of what we're talking about. It's not a comparison. It's a pure state. This is what true liberation would be. It's no longer a challenge to not change, to be true to your word. For example, no, it's a consistency with no change possible. This is what it means. This is what oneness is. This is what the true liberation is. This is what your ultimate enlightenment is an embrace of all, which can look like nothing. If this is the door you choose to go through. Yeah, just go back to Masako's comment. Yeah. Please continue.
Okay. And in his changelessness lies your release.
Mm-hmm.
For if he is as he was created, there is no guilt in him. No cloud of guilt has risen to obscure him, and he stands revealed in everyone you meet because you see him through himself.
And he stands revealed in everyone you meet, including the Nazi, if this is what you're looking at the time. He stands revealed in everyone you meet because you see him through himself. And when we see in himself here is your healed mind. Christ, in this book, Christ means or equals your healed mind. Your right mind. Your right thinking. The unhealed mind is the separated thinking that continues to find differences. Please continue.
To be born again is to let the past go and look without condemnation upon the present.
Yes.
The cloud that obscures God's Son to you is the past. And if you would have it past and gone, you must not see it now. If you see it now in your illusions, it has not gone from you, although it is not there.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. But we're just going to take a moment here to remember that from a pure healed mind, there is no time. In the material world, there is time. In a pure spiritual awakening, there is no time. As this author mentions in the beginning of the book, he says, you know what? Why don't you leave this miracle thing essentially up to me? Because time and space are under my control. I can help. Okay, turn to page...
Andrew, can I just...
Yeah.
I feel like compelled to say something.
Good.
In response to Paul's question, because I was a little confused by what your response to him was, so maybe I'll just try and confuse him even more. What I was thinking was everything that we see outside of us is coming from our own mind. So if we see people that we think have hurt us, or we don't like their behavior, like you were saying, I have to remember that just like me, everyone is light, and they don't know they are. Most people don't know that they're light, and they don't know how to find their way out of the darkness. But how I perceive everyone out here is it's my responsibility. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I actually have a much easier time dealing with people that are acting out and angry and mean than I do people that are very subtly sweet mean. Very
less obvious.
Very much less obvious.
I have
a much harder time with those trying to see those people.
You can smell it, but you can't see it.
Oh my gosh, they're the ones that get me the most. The others are more obvious, and I can say to myself, yeah, they don't realize it, you know. But I don't know. I think it is not something that you can just grasp onto this idea for the first time and say, okay, now I get it now. That, you know, I can forgive that person, or that person doesn't have to affect me anymore because I really, you know, see them this way. It doesn't happen like that. It just takes a while to be able to practice looking at everything out here as not being out here anymore, but it's coming from in here.
Yes.
And it's my interpretation of that.
Pam's got a question for you.
That gets you the release. Is that...
I think it's... I just love the reinterpretation that I get in this room. And I'm so grateful. And I also wanted to... I was thinking the same thing. I wanted to add a little bit.
Good.
Also in that one of the fundamentals of this is that everything... A few things that really help me is that everything is either love or a call for love,
mm-hmm.
one or the other, and that also there's no difference between the peace lost over someone cutting you off or what you were describing, these awful, horrendous offenses that happen in the world, and that it's there's peace and there's love, and that it's about understanding. It's about really bringing that to whatever level of pain and love. Like, it's all the perception of it, and which doesn't it just brings compassion.
Yeah. What was Mary Williamson? One of her phrases is whether it's breaking a fingernail or nuclear war.
Right.
They each have the equal ability to ruin your day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny, but it's factual. Even though one day is really ruined, the other day is just ruined. They each... You're either peaceful or you're not.
Right.
Either you're part of finding love and joining, or you're part of separating and darkening. It's binary.
I have one more thing to add.
Yes.
And that is, what I give, I receive. So when I give that compassion, I'm actually having the experience in the present of compassion and love when I give it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to come to me from out there.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure it out and try to understand it.
Yes.
It's not going to ever bring it.
Even as you put them in handcuffs. Even as you put him in jail, mm-hmm. if that's what has to be done, you can do it with compassion and understanding the call for love. It's not that you roll back and just watch it happen and help even. No, that's not it.
Mm-mm.
That's it. Choose how you want to live and get on it right away. Even as you become the best Nazi stopper the world has known. But if you do it with anger, when you do an attack, you're just another version of what you're trying to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Huge difference. Then we'll have to stop you.
Right.
Eventually.
But the concept of letting go of the past, I understand letting go of an attachment to the past and a prejudgment based on the past. But isn't the past around to teach us something?
Mm-hmm.
To look out for something, to
alter things? How'd you even learn English without the past? We can find all these great uses for the past. And teaches us how to help and to love and to feed each other. And, you would go to medical school. And then, because of all that past teaching, you could be a good doctor. We can find all sorts of good uses for the past. But none of them is peace. None of them is joy. Present joy. Can you make joy by healing somebody with all your great medical knowledge? Yeah, okay. That's arguable. But it's probably conditional in a huge number of ways.
It's
outside of you, which is the biggest part. To be joyful while you're administering the medicine, and that may not work out so well. You may get sued if that patient who you tried to help does not heal properly. Big time. However, what Michaeline's talking about is, and we talk about in Course in Miracles, one of Julie's favorite sections, you choose before you interact how it shall be. With A Course in Miracles, you're choosing your approach and your attitude of joy and of love. Rather than doing something and then seeing how it work out. Can I be happy now? If you're in the world, you have to wait for the paycheck to find out if it was good or not what you did. Whether you saving that kid, and let's see if the kid actually lives, and then we'll decide if I was a good doctor.
That's what the world says. And it's built that way. And there's a whole legal system to prove that that's how it should be. What we're talking about is a spiritual awakening to something that is in the world enough, like a doctor who's, you know, at the roadside, you know, or at an operating table, in the world, but no longer of the world. The world judges based on outcome. It's attached to outcome. This is not a place, that's not a way of freedom. And for all of us who are still stuck in a body, where you got to pull in some air, only for so long now, and then let it back out. You know who you are? You're still stuck in a body. We are here to release from the identity of being both in the world and of the world. It's a prison cell, if that's how you look. Now, what Michaeline's talking about is, can we get some freedom on regardless of what happens? Can I somehow see that, as we learn on page 217 of this book, even fear is driven by a call for love? Well, doesn't that mean that fear doesn't actually exist? Doesn't that mean that love, the call, the desire for love, since it's not being afforded, looks like anger, fear, attack? But it's really love saying, I want to be present. I'm not sure how to do it. So I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to swear at you. I might even hit you in my desperate attempt to get love, to get some peace. Doesn't that still mean it's love driving it?
Or I'm going to leave you and I'm going to work with you for a while, and then I'll leave you and then I'll go with you for a while, because, you know, it kind of wears off after a year or so. So I'll go to somebody else, because that one's going to wear off too, because you never stop long enough to find the love.
Yes.
You keep looking for it here and here. Yes. And here and here.
And that action actually blocks it.
Yes.
It's the scared junkyard dog. Mm. It's the mean dog that's just scared.
Mm.
Yeah. And
it's a bummer.
And you're looking for the wrong kind of love anyway.
Yes.
You're not looking for the love that you are.
Yes. Now, this is the night of binaries, right? It's really all condemnous. One way is look for the love, which is we're going to be studying here in a moment. We get back to our paragraph. The other way is to know none of this is real. You don't have to find love here. You're in a dream. This is a fantastic illusion. It's the Truman Show. This stuff is all propped up. That's cardboard. That building in the distance. You've never been there to know it. It's cardboard. We paint it while you're asleep. Changed it last night even.
I mean, it's really funny to joke about it. And we all do. But really, we feel the illusion that we're in. And so when we're in the illusion, it's as real as
can
be.
Now, if you're feeling the illusion, then you should be working on shifting towards seeing the love in the illusion.
Right.
Okay? Yes. Really true. But I'll tell you, folks, you're all heading here. Time, and you've already been here to a huge extent. I'm here to point it out to you. Mm-hmm. You no longer feel as much deeply and darkly triggered as you could before. You can never go back again. To those depths of darkness, they can never return.
I almost was crawling in this room broken.
I know it.
I was broken, definitely.
Yeah, you can remember it, but you can never.
You can never go back.
You have been, your part of your mind is healed. You cannot go back that route. The healing has covered it over. So part of what's happening there is you're awakening from the illusion, and how difficult you made things for yourself, you can never do again.
Right.
We only have a couple minutes, so we'll just visit this real quick, and that is page 594. Flip to page 594. And don't look ahead, because we always go to 595. This time it's 594.
You're so full of surprises.
Okay, look at this. This is. Check it out. This is the other way. Okay, remember I just told you binaries. One way is you look in the world and look for the love behind and in the calls for love, which are calls for love are hate, attack, fear, guilt, things like that. Okay, if you're feeling it, really stay with the judgment, but try to get the Holy Spirit to judge it truly. Okay? But there comes a time when you say, oh yeah. There's a comes a time when an awakening occurs. It's a moment of freedom. And the big miracle, a miracle in this book is a shift in perception. That's not a miracle. Not something fantastic. It's something quite ordinary. It's shift from wrong thinking to right thinking. That's all. But it sticks. Okay, now, check it out. Who's up to read? Anybody remember?
Erica.
I think it's her, but I doubt it.
Erica, take full courage and certainty. And read paragraph 7 for us on 594. Listen to this.
The miracle establishes you dream a dream and that its content is not true. This is a crucial step in dealing with illusions. No one is afraid of them when he perceives he made them up. The fear was held in place because he did not see that he was author of the dream and not a figure in the dream. He gives himself the consequences that he dreams he gave his brother. And it is but this the dream has put together and has offered him to show him that his wishes have been done. Thus does he fear his own attack, but sees it at another's hands. Mm-hmm. As victim, he is suffering from its effects, but not their cause. He authored not his own attack, and he is innocent of what he caused. The miracle does nothing but to show him that he has done nothing. What he fears is cause without the consequences that would make it a cause, and so it never was.
Welcome to Course in Miracles. If you said, what? Did it just say? But you felt something a bit there, right? You felt a little bit of empowerment?
English, please.
Yeah, right? Yeah, welcome. I know, this is it. But it's written so you don't read it like a novel. There's a huge amount in this paragraph. And one day when we get here, we will spend a whole night on that paragraph. Because it really is an awakening to what is going on in your mind. As you dream a dream. You are the dreamer of the dream, not a figure in the dream.
You could read this every morning when you
right?
get up.
Would it be orienting?
Yeah, just see your day change.
It's what an addiction of separation really plays out as. You are dreaming now that you are a figure in the dream, and the other figures in the dream will tell you what to think about you as you interact. Oh my God, it's layers of dreaming. If you were to awaken spiritually, then all this apparent solid separateness of materiality would have to be seen very, very differently. This is a peek of what that is like. Now, we have just a few minutes left. Let's flip back and see now. Page 411.
We really are going to get there.
This is our reading for tonight.
That's exciting.
As promised. And remember, the section we're reading here, this is the whole section is the obstacles to peace. Okay? We're discussing the obstacles to peace that we build in our own minds. This particular obstacle we're talking about is the attraction to guilt. If the ego has a use for guilt in this world, if she's more guilty than you are, you look okay. If you take on some guilt yourself, then sometimes that makes you look okay. Guilt is like a coin here in this world. There's an attraction to serving guilt where it's due. That kind of makes us responsible people. Oh my God! Watch out for that slippery slope. Guilt is an obstacle to peace. So we're spending a lot of time on it. And the way we're talking about here, the way that it works is your mind and your judgment and your what you think you know to be true, you will send out messengers to witness what you think is true. And when they gather enough information, they come back and will report to you that you were right. Guess what? They are guilty. I just wanted to be, yeah, that's like I thought. I judged correctly once again.
But watch out for this slippery slope of knowing.
The self-fulfilling prophecy.
The self-fulfilling prophecy, or as the Course calls it, the hungry dogs of fear. They go out, find something to be afraid of, and it'll come back and tell you how you should be afraid of those Nazi people. Very afraid. Okay? Now, this paragraph switches over. You could send out messengers of fear, or you could send out messengers of love, which is all we've been talking about tonight. What does it take? What are you going to release in your life, in your pattern of being? What would you no longer do so you could experience more love? So you could experience the awakening? So you could experience peace in your life? So you experience a little bit of relaxation once in a while? What would you have to release to do that? Check it out. Who's up to bat? Pam, would you read for us paragraph 16, baby?
16. Love, too, would set a feast before you on a table covered with a spotless cloth set in a quiet garden where no sound but singing and a softly joyous whispering is ever heard. This is a feast that honors your holy relationship and at which everyone is welcomed as an honored guest. And in a holy instant, grace is said by everyone together as they join in gentleness before the table of communion. And I will join you there. As long ago I promised and promise still. For in your new relationship am I made welcome. And where I am made welcome, there I am.
There's two major things here. We don't have time to discuss it, so we will start again with this paragraph next week. Because first we have to discuss what it is, how love works in the world. How would the attitude, how would the right mind actually see the world? As the first part of the paragraph. And the second part of the paragraph is, you notice the word I is in there? What I? Who's this I? How does that character fit in? So we'll have to look at that too. I think we don't have time to do it tonight. So we'll do it next week. Good, good. Let's have a circle. Good job. Take a deep breath. So you controlled your body right there. Let your body not ever control you again. Extend that to the entire world, not control you again. You are free. You do remain exactly as you were created by freedom itself. You are a manifestation of freedom. You can witness this at any moment. You just did when you took a breath, if you noticed it. So may you take your freedom from this night forward and catch any aspect of your life you do not like and simply release it. Release it to return to your freedom. It's not something that you do. It's something that you undo. That's how easy it really is. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Have you read a little of the Course before this?
Certainly less dense.
But I've read it. A wide range of spiritual books.
Different concepts. I got all this here at 10.